Let's look here at Galatians chapter 3, and I'll start reading at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We're talking on the subject of the reality of redemption. And we're in this area we call redeemed from poverty. Redeemed from poverty. Now, let's just kind of put our brackets around what we're talking about here. We're talking about how God had given the earth over to mankind, and through the sin of mankind, Adam and Eve, the earth was lost and placed into the hands of the devil. Now God is getting this earth back. He came to recoup and recover what was lost. And here it's talking about what happened to redeem us from the curse. Now, we said that the curse was already in the earth, and it was happening because of the broken laws of God, that because of the broken laws, people were the curse was operating against people in their lives. Now, poverty exists because of the broken laws of God, and what God has a way of getting us out of poverty, not only that, but getting us back to the place that Adam was in the beginning, and even higher, a place of blessing. It says Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. So redeem means to buy back or to recover. And he was being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus hung on the cross and he became a curse for us. So that means because he became the curse, we don't need to suffer that curse. Now, put something right there and just turn with me over a few pages backwards to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or pardon me, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, this is just a few pages back now, just, you know, all right? Praise God. Don't go wild on me here. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Poor, that you through his poverty might be what? Rich. Now, Jesus was rich. The Bible says he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich, or might be rich. So he became poor that we could be rich. And we said the word rich means abundant supply. Jesus came preaching this. He said, I'm come that they might have what? Life, and have it how? More abundantly. He came to preach the rich lifestyle. And if you look at this, and as we go on down, you'll see how this is a theme right through the Bible. God, the Bible is very thematic, and it's going to be a theme right through the Bible that God is making his people rich. Now, we said rich doesn't mean a certain amount of money. I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire, and so forth. It doesn't mean that. It means having abundance, having more than enough to be rich. All right, now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, and let's look again at what he said in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. We'll get into a few technical parts here, but just hold on, because you'll understand it. Now, Christ had redeemed us from the curse. Why? He was made a curse for us. He was made poverty for us. Poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. All you got to do is look through the Bible. Well, Jesus was poor. He couldn't have been poor. How could he be poor and feed 20,000 people? How could he be poor? Well, he didn't have any place to lay his head. The Bible says when he was on a ship going across to the other side with the disciples, he laid his head on a pillow. So he did have somewhere to lay his head. In John chapter 1, he says, he told the disciples, come to see where I live. So he did have a place to lay his head. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that all of this is something that the enemy has taken time to build up in our minds, that Jesus was broke. When you see greeting cards, and you've seen those greeting cards and you've seen them, And what those greeting cards have is three wise men. Am I right about it? And even when you see them coming to Jesus, they come to Jesus in the manger. Well, all you got to do is go in the Bible and look in here. Well, wasn't no wise men in the manger. The Bible says when they came to Jesus, they came to his house. You ain't doing me right now. You ain't doing me right. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. I'm coming right back to Galatians chapter 3. Matthew chapter 2 real quick. Amen. Let me know when you get there. Come on. Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, did it say three wise men? No. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets," because that's what's written over in the Old Testament, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel." Okay? Look at verse 7. "And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young who? Child.'" Didn't say nothing about baby. Young child. "And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." Herod was not interested in worshiping Jesus. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." Did it say baby? No. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came to the manger..." No, that's not what it said, is it? Because he's not in the manger. "When they came where? Into the house, they saw who? The young child with who?" Now notice, this was about 2 years after Jesus was born. Well, how do I know that? Because Herod got mad that the wise men didn't come back and tell him. And so he killed all the babies 2 years old and under. And look what they brought Jesus. Verse 11, "And worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold," what else? "Frankincense and myrrh." Isn't that something? Now, somebody says, well, on the greeting card, you see this little box of gold. And that wasn't true. Because you see three wise men in a manger. And that wasn't true. First of all, it was a train of wise men. They had donkeys staggering with gold. And one man did a study. Peter Daniels came here and said they did a study. Some of the rabbis over there did a study. And they came up with the fact that the amount of gold that they brought to Jesus' house that day was the equivalent of about $400 million worth today. Why? Because God was about to send them to Egypt. Now see, what I'm saying is the enemy has painted a picture in our mind that wasn't completely true. All right? Now let me tell you something. You got to be ready for the truth. Because people will say they want to hear the truth. But when I give it to you, it bothers you. And the reason why it bothers you is because inside of a person, there is unbelief. Another picture has been painted in you. And when I come and give you the truth and it bumps up against that lie, some people get offended. They get offended. Now, I'm going to preach this, and you just sit here and take it. And then at the end of it, if I'm not doing something or saying something right according to the scriptures, then you're free to call me down on it. Other than that, listen to what I got to say. And don't think because I'm maybe not the same racial background as you, I can't tell you nothing. Because in the spirit, there is no color. And I'm not preaching out of my flesh. I'm preaching out of the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now listen to what I got to say. And I think if you don't agree with me at the end, you're free to call me down on it. Look what it says. Turn back to Galatians chapter 3. I don't know whether you're there or not. If you're there, say praise the Lord. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. First, let's deal with the fact of the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How many people in here have faith? Then the faith that you have that God gave you and that faith that you exercise, the same are the children of Abraham. So you are a child of Abraham. Are you with me? So it doesn't matter whether you came from Mississippi, whether you came from Uganda, whether you came from the Arab Emirates, whether you came from Chile or China or wherever you came from, it makes no difference. If you have the same faith in God, then you're a child of Abraham. Now stay with me. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They that be of faith. Now understand, I said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles? We were. We were the Gentiles. Gentiles means someone that's outside of the covenant. So we were outside of the covenant, and we were Gentiles, and we got brought into the covenant through Jesus Christ. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All right. Then that same faith that Abraham has, you have, and you are blessed with faithful Abraham. That means whatever God blessed Abraham with, he is duplicating in your life. Now, what did he bless Abraham with? Material blessings, not spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings for us came through Jesus. The material blessings came through Abraham. You and me, if we're in the Old Testament, couldn't cast out not one devil. There is no place in this Bible, in the Old Testament, that any person cast out demons. Because they didn't have the spiritual power. The spiritual blessing didn't come till Jesus died. Other than that, what you blessings you got were you got material blessings. And that
hadn't been preached. It said the blessing of Abraham are spiritual. Abraham couldn't get spiritual blessings because he wasn't spiritual. Abraham wasn't born again, folks. Abraham, when he left this earth, he was then placed, like all the others who believe, in an upper region called Sheol. It is paradise. It's an upper regional place. That's why the thief who hung on the cross said, Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He couldn't go to heaven until Jesus died and rose again and put the blood on the mercy seat. Abraham couldn't go to heaven then. Abraham needed to be saved. And some people worship Mary and pray to Mary. Mary needed to be saved just like you. All right, now I'm not going to go further into that, but I'm just telling you, see, if you don't have the truth, then the enemy can mislead you. Now, I'm going to go somewhere with this. You told me you wanted the truth. Didn't you say that? Yeah. Mary was not deity. She was used as a channel to get Jesus into this earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. It didn't say the woman Mary. It said the man Christ Jesus. That's the only mediator. That's the, go in the Bible and look at it. See, if you think you know so much and you're telling me that that's not right, then go in the Bible and find out that I'm right. And if I'm right, then whatever doctrine you've been told, put it aside because it's wrong. Now, I'm talking to somebody. I wouldn't stop on this point if I wasn't talking to somebody. And I'm certainly not trying to put you down or put your religion down. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is educate you. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, if that's the truth, then that's what I need to make me free. Say amen to that. No wonder you're not getting no results. You're praying to somebody that can't help you. You got to pray to God. You got to pray to God. God will give you intercessors, give you people that can help pray you through and so forth. But the ultimate is that God wants a fellowship with you directly. God has no grandkids. He only has kids. He wants every one of us to come directly to Daddy and get what we need. No grandkids in the Bible. All right, verse 14. And the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile. Underline blessing. No S on that. Did you notice? There is no S on blessing. Now, let me give you I've done this before, but I've been led to do it again. Let me give you, now don't get upset with me. Don't get upset with me because I'm not trying to put people down. That is not the why I came into this ministry. I came into this ministry to lift you up. But I know if I'm going to do that, I got to get you to get rid of everything that's holding you down. Now, look what happened. He said the blessing. Now, let me describe the blessing to you. I can describe the blessing sometime by taking the reciprocal of that, the curses. For the curses, for example, if you have, let's say there's a cousin, and this cousin's name is I done run out of name when I ain't got Shaquita. Shaquita in there. Well, Shaquita in there. Her name is Jane. But anyway, Jane moves in with somebody. And 2 weeks later, their house burned down. Well, Jane moves out of that and then moves in with another relative over here. And their house burned down. Then, you know, moves in with another. And 3 weeks later, their house burned down. Now, would you let Jane move in with you? No, because Jane's got a curse on her life. Now, turn it around and the blessing that everywhere you go, people start getting blessed. Got it? All right, that's the blessing. It's not an S on it. When you get to Deuteronomy 28, that's where the S's are on it. It describes some of the blessings that are under the blessed. Now, it says here that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise, underline promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what people have thought is that was the Holy Spirit. The promise was the Holy Spirit. Well, that's part right, but that mostly is not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the promise of the Spirit, the promise that the Holy Spirit made to Abraham. Now, let's look at that promise. Hold your hand right there. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. That's back to your left. Amen. I'm just trying to help now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me know when you get there. Are you there yet? Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the what? Heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. Now I want to read that same verse out of the Living Bible translation. Now look at me. It is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's laws, but because he trusted God to keep his promise. Got it? Now, God said he's going to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants. The children of Abraham. Who are the children of Abraham? We are. God says, I'm going to give the whole earth to you. Now, what is God doing? Adam had it, God's child. Satan stole it. God now is going to take the earth, get it back into the hands of his children again. Got it? Now, let's go back to Galatians again, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm taking it easy now because I'm going to go somewhere and I want you to stay with me. Galatians chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Notice, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Those who are still depending on the law are under the curse. Now, who was the law for? Turn with me to 1 Timothy. That's further back to your right, not far now. 1 Timothy, you'll see Thessalonians and Titus and all them T's. Timothy is in that neighborhood. 1 Timothy. Let me know when you get there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's see who the law was for. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for who? A righteous man, but for the who? Lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, profane, murder. It's not made for you. The law was not made for you. When Jesus came, the Bible says the law was set aside. Now, what do you have? The Bible says in the Old Testament, he's going to write his laws in your heart. So we don't have the laws as Moses came down and brought the Ten Commandments and all the other laws in the Old Testament and in the first five books of the Bible. But we have the law of the Spirit. He's in our hearts, the Spirit of God. When you start going wrong and you start going this way and you shouldn't go that way, you'll feel conviction come in your heart. The Holy Spirit will start convicting you to bring you back on course. And every one of us has to be corrected. I said every one of us has to be corrected. I was sharing with him on the last service, if I fly airplanes, if I'm flying an airplane and I'm flying from Chicago to Los Angeles, well, but in that route, I have to make all kinds of corrections because of the wind. The wind tries to blow me off track, off course. And so I have to put a little correction in and so forth. Now they got computers. I put it in the autopilot. where I'm going and my waypoints, where I'm going. And then the computer automatically, you'll feel the airplane kind of making little corrections, making little corrections. If you look on the attitude indicator, you'll see it making little corrections about every 4 or 5 minutes, making little corrections. Why? Because without corrections, I'll never make it to L.A. And if you're sitting in here and you've never been corrected, I can guarantee you, you're off course. You're off course. If you've never been corrected by the word of God, by the man of God, you're off course. Every one of us needs correction. Or you'll never make it to your destiny. Boy, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. All right. Okay. Let's keep rolling. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 14, please. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Do you still love me?
Yes.
I love you too. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Let's start there. Genesis chapter 12. Praise God. Amen. See, we want to get you to your destiny, to your wealthy place. The Bible says, who the Lord loves, he chastens. That word chasten does not mean make you sick. What he does is he takes the word of God and chastens your spirit. You can tell when you're being chastened. Boy, you feel bad about it. You say, Lord, have mercy. I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Sure, the Lord loves you. He said, if he does not chasten you, if you never get corrected by the Lord, you are illegitimate. That's the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. So God is telling Abram, follow me. Follow me. Now you got to be obedient with God and follow him. He is saying, come out of the system, come out of the things that you've been trusting in and trust in me. Now, God is leading him out of a place here that was comfortable to him and leading him into a place that was uncomfortable without a roadmap, without a brochure, without anything. He is saying, you just follow me and I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's go on down to verse 9. Now look at me. Look at me. When I left Minneapolis, God said, I want you to go to Chicago. Folks, he didn't even tell me what I was going to do. He said, I want you to go to Chicago. Now, I assumed that I was going to minister, but I didn't have anything set up for me. I didn't have big denomination behind me, financing me, and all this kind of stuff. I had nothing but the word of God. And he told me to go, and then I had a sister to open up her home. She kept us for about 8 months until we got ourselves started with ministry, and then so forth and so on. It went on there. I didn't see this mall. I didn't see all the things that we've got now. I didn't see those things. But I was just taking the next step that God gave me. That's all you got to do, but you got to trust God. You got to take just the next step, see? And he'll take you from the comfortable to the uncomfortable. He'll take you from a place that's familiar to the unfamiliar. And he'll do it on purpose because he wants you to trust in him with all your heart. Now, in the wilderness, what did they do in the wilderness? They had a cloud. Say cloud. They had a cloud. And when Moses said, when you see that cloud move, it's time for us to move. And so what would happen? They'd get up one morning and the clouds start moving. Well, what did the cloud supply? It supplied shade for them in that hot sun in that desert. But that cloud would move. And when that cloud would move, the trumpet would sound. And everybody would pack up and on the journey. Now, they didn't even know where they're going to stop next. They just had to follow the cloud. At night, when he moved them, they had to follow the fire. That was a column of fire that kept the whole camp warm, and they had to follow the fire. So I'm saying you don't know where you're going next. What you need to do is say, I'm going to follow you, Lord. Whichever way you take me, I'm going to trust that you're going to get me to my wealthy place. All right. Now, look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, where did God lead Abram? He led him to a place called Canaan land. But in Canaan, there was a famine there. It didn't look so hot. So Abram then, in his mind, he wanted a comfort zone, looking for a place where he could feel most comfortable. He went on down to Egypt. Now, when he got down to Egypt, he had to tell a lie to really stay there in his mind, because he told Pharaoh that she was my sister. A lie, so to speak. It wasn't the full truth. Let's say it like that. He told him that she was my sister, not my wife. He said, now don't tell them you're my wife, because you tell them my wife, they might kill me for you, girl, because you look good. So what happened was, went on down there, told him that, but soon Pharaoh, some things started happening. Pharaoh found out and put him out of there. But when he put him out of there, he put him out not empty. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was what? Come on, say it now. You can say it. Very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Now remember what I told you. Whatever God did in Abraham's life, he wants to duplicate, come on, in your life. Now, how rich was he? Very rich. If you go into Amplified, it says extremely rich. Come on, somebody. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Why? Because God has a purpose or a mission for your money. He's not going to only just make you good looking and make you have things, but he wants to bless other people. He might want you to use you to feed the whole nation of Sudan. God may, but you got to follow God. Let him do it. All right? So then, let's go on down to verse 5. And Lot. Now, Lot went with him. Lot was a lot of problem, but Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. Look what it said. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear both, able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. Glory to God. That means they had so much possession, so much stuff, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a what? Strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between me, my herdmen, and thy herdmen. For we are who? Brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If I'll take the right hand, then if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll take the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward where? Sodom. All right. So now you got a picture of it. Here's Lot. He's getting blessed because of Abraham. The blessing is on Abraham, not on Lot. That means that folks that travel with you sometime get blessed, and they're going to get blessed because the blessing is on you. Now, what happened was then Lot went down there and pitched his tent in Sodom. Well, five kings got together. They confederated together, and then they formed a big army and swooped down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took everybody. They took the people. They took the property. They took the valuables and goods. They took the cattle. They took Lot and his family and all the cattle Lot had. They took everything, and they went on. Well, what happened? One of them got loose and ran back to tell Abram. Verse 13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the land of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Ishcol and brother of Anar, and there were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them to Hoboth, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all, and the line all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after this return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I've lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I made Abraham rich." All right, praise God. How much time I got? 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Okay. Watch what I'm about to say. Abram went out and rescued Lot and all the king of Sodom and king of Gomorrah and all the goods and all the people, brought them back. When he came back, he was met by two kings. One of them, it says, was verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him. Verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, in this, he was met by these two kings, and these two kings were totally different. One, king of Sodom, you know what Sodom was. We have laws, the Sodomite laws on the records today. It means perversion. He was the king ruling over a perverse nation. Another one was Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem is a word for peace. We get Jerusalem from it. But he brought forth bread and wine. We do that when we serve what? Communion. He was a priest of the Most High God. The Most High God in the Hebrew is El Elyon. E-L-E-L-Y-O-N. El Elyon. Now, it means the Most High God. Hold on. Put something right there and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, please. All the way back, close to the book of Revelations. Hebrews chapter 7. I want you to see this. Because right after payday, two kings show up. All right, look what it says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." What do we call that tenth part? Tithe. Okay. Now, Abraham was not under the law. Do you agree? He was 400 and some years before the law, but he was a tither. So tithing did not start with the law. Tithing was under the law because God wanted to give people who were under the law the benefit of what the tithe would produce. Let me keep going. Tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So Melchizedek was a theophany. Theophany is a theological term meaning that he was a type of Christ or that he represented Christ, but it was a supernatural encounter. God can appear in the earth and did appear in different ways. And Moses, he appeared as a burning bush that burned but was not consumed. A theophany. So here's Melchizedek. No lineage, no time of his birth, no time of his death. No mama, no daddy. But made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, through, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them receives tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. Now, Abraham had the promises, but he needed to bless it. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So Abraham needed Melchizedek to bless him. Can I keep going here? Let's go back with me to Genesis again, Genesis chapter 14, where I left off. Genesis chapter 14. Now I want you to see this. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, oh, to God, that time, boy, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be who? Abram, of the Most who? High God, possessor of where? Heaven and earth. Now he blessed him, but he called him the possessor of heaven and earth. He said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. In the Old Testament, names, even today, names come from different places. Names come from where you were born at. Names come from a certain profession that you have. Names come from a mark that you have made in the earth or something. Names, Smith, that could be Goldsmith. Goldsmith were people who would take the gold and handle the gold and give you a certificate. Today we call them bankers. And or blacksmith, you know what a blacksmith is, and so forth and so on. The Smith, all kinds of names. Your surname comes from something. Well, this name, El Elyon, is the Most High God. And what happens is when you get married, when I got married to my wife, she took my last name, Winston. Now, the covenant symbolized through the bread and the wine up here was saying that he was sitting down for a covenant meal, and he was blessing him and saying that now you're going to be in covenant with El Elyon. So now it was going to be Abram of El Elyon. Got it? Of the Most High God. But it didn't stop there. If you're going down, he said, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Underline that. Which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Watch this. Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom. Pardon me. Yes. Abram said to the king of Sodom. No, verse 21. Let me start with verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor, come on, of heaven and earth. Now, Abram was called by Melchizedek the Abram of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, meaning that Abram was the possessor of heaven and earth. Abram Abraham said that God was the possessor of heaven and earth. Now notice, both of them are possessor of heaven and earth. Well, when I marry my wife, Veronica, we are all possessors of whatever we got. So whatever El Elyon has, now Abraham has. So he was coming into covenant with Abraham, saying, whatever belongs to me now belongs to you. And what belongs to me is heaven and earth. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Watch this. Verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Now notice, give me the people, keep the property. Hold your hand right there. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Give me the people, and you keep all the stuff. Matthew chapter 4, come on. Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. I got to finish this. I'm 00 on the clock. Look what it said. Now, don't leave, though. This is your piece right here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Hold it. Look at me. This is when Jesus had fasted 40 days, and now he's being tempted of the devil. And the devil is tempting him with different things. One of the temptations. Watch it. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And the glory of them. Now, when he says glory of them, glory don't mean, woo, glory. That ain't glory. He's talking about wealth. And look what the devil told him. Verse 9. And said to him, all this wealth or things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. My point is this. The devil will make you rich if you do his will.
Come on.
If you just put out this nasty rap record, I'll make you rich. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. And you wonder how the ungodly are getting rich because he's got people that are doing his will. And that's what the king of Sodom represents. He represents the devil. When you get your paycheck, two people show up. Two people always get some inheritance, get a bunch of money. Two people gonna show up. The king of perversion and the king of God. And the priest of God. I'm here to tell you, you got a choice that you're going to have to make. And the enemy will promise you some stuff that if you just do this for him, he'll give you some money. But the problem with him is only thing he has is death. He can't keep nothing alive long. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. When the ball players get that big old check and that big old bonus, two people show up. And I ain't seen none of it in this church. I wonder how many other people seen it. Now, I'm not saying everybody like that, but see, when you, this is what I'm telling you, the enemy will make you rich if you cooperate with him. Because he still controls some of that wealth, see? If you just do this, you just lie on this, if you just sell these drugs for me, if you just do this, so forth and so on, I'll make you rich. Oh, I know you didn't come to hear that, but you're going to hear the truth. But Jesus turned him down and said, get out of here. Get thee behind me. Come on back to Genesis. Come on. I'm out of time. The devil is alive. All right, let me just finish. Now, coming in covenant. You can't come in covenant with someone and not come to where they are. You read over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and you'll see that he told him, he said, listen, and when you come in this place, destroy all the enemy. And don't make no covenant with them. Because if you do make a covenant with them, they're going to have your son marrying their daughters or their son marrying your daughters. And it's going to turn you away from your God. Not might turn you away. It's going to turn you away. You know what we need to do? We need to watch who our daughters marry. Because if that rascal's messing around with them drugs, I guarantee you, pretty soon that daughter gonna be acting funny. Or let's turn it around the other way. And I'm telling you, what we need to do is we need to be like Caleb was. They came in there. I guess the man wanted to marry Caleb's daughter or something like that. And Caleb told him, said, wait a minute, hold it. How many people can you slay? In other words, let me see what you can do. Because I'm not letting any old Joe come in here and marry my daughter. You're going to have to be able to prove yourself that you got some worth to marry my daughter. Now, I'm not saying that we haven't all been there and been doing some wrong things and so forth, but for you to get hooked up, you need to start doing some right stuff. Say amen to that. Because whoever you marry, you're going to sink to that level. Well, guess what? Now you're married to El Elyon, and you're going up to that level. The possessor of heaven and earth. Lord have mercy. Let's just see what he got. Turn to Psalms chapter 50 with me real quick. Glory to God. I'm ready to go. I don't know about you. Psalms chapter 50. Hallelujah. The possessor of heaven and earth. Glory to God. My name is William L. Elyon. Glory to God. Amen. Look what it says in Psalms chapter 50. Let me know when you get there. Look at God now. God is saying in verse 10, for every beast of the forest is who? Mine, says mine too. And the cattle upon the thousand hills are mine, say mine too. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is who? Mine and the what? Fullness thereof. Say me too. Come on over to Haggai. Haggai. Now, Haggai, I ain't got time for you to look up and spend. Go back to the table of contents and find out where Haggai is. Say amen to this. Praise God, the devil is a liar. Oh, we got him where we want him now, because the blessing is on you. I said, you're hooked up with El Elyon. You're hooked up with the Most High God, the possessor of heaven, come on, and earth. Let me know when you get Haggai. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. Look what it said in verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. A whole lot of shaking going on. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. For the silver, come on, is mine, come on, and the gold is mine. Now, let me finish up with this. There are three parts to the blessing that Melchizedek, by his blessing and the covenant connection between Abram and the Most High God. One, the blessing of promotion. The blessing of promotion, that God will elevate you from your low estate into a high place. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, he said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and all the things that he tells you, that he'll set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings, come on, will come on you, come on, and overtake you. Folks, I'm telling you, we've been working too hard. These blessings are supposed to come on us and overtake us. Say amen to that. And he's going to elevate you to the place where if you've been bound by something, you're not going to be bound by it anymore. If fear has been keeping you out of something, fear ain't going to be keeping you no more. If failure has been following you around, failure going to be cut off. If sickness and disease been running in your family, it ain't going to run in the new family because you are hooked up with El Elyon. Promotion. The next promotion, honor, and elevation. Now, the next blessing is a blessing of possession or ownership. You're going to own what he owns. Now, watch this. Wherever you live, there is an anointing to own it. Wherever you live, doesn't make any difference where you live, there is an anointing of ownership. Now, God guides you there. You just can't go anywhere. He knows exactly where the land that he wants you to possess. Now, realize that this is God working this thing out. And don't be looking at your education, because education can't get there. He's taking the foolish things and confounding the wise. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, I want to show you what it says. It says, turn to James real quick. And James, all the way back by the book of Revelation, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Now, remember what he told Lot. Glory to God. Put James chapter 3. And also fine for me. Let everything else go, because I'm through. Let everything else. I'm not quite through, but I'm almost through. Put fine again, Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I want to read both of those almost together. Genesis chapter 13, James chapter 3. If you have them, say praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 13, look what it says in verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no what? Strife between us, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land, so forth and so on. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold the plain of Jordan, so forth and so on. So Lot went and dwelt in that land. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said to who? Abram, when? After Lot was separated from him. Lift up now thy eyes. Now, oh, hold it. When did he say that to Abram? Turn over to James chapter 3. And look at James chapter 3, and look, let me know when you get there. It says here in James chapter 3, verse 16, where there is, where envying and strife is, there is confusion, come on, and every evil work. I am convinced that the enemy uses strife to keep you confused about hearing his voice as to where to go and what to do. I'm a living witness. We were supposed to possess the Sheru. That is across the street from here where we had services at before we moved here. We were going to make it a restaurant. But at that time, I had so much strife on my board until I couldn't hear God if he came with a megaphone. The man was trying to sell it to us because we had prayed him out of there. See, wherever we possessed, we could own it. See, that we had an anointing to own wherever we landed. You got the same thing. I know you in the apartment building. Claim it. Praise God. You got to hear this. The anointing is on you to get wealth. See, we didn't know that, and then we think we got to have enough money. Enough money. Back off of that rascal. Go outside. Take your finger out your pocket. Point at it and command it to come into your hands now. And don't even be concerned how God's going to do it. I'm preaching now. Boy, they were, man, I'm telling you, busy striving on my board so far. I couldn't hear God. Pretty soon, the man, he said some things to me that you just wouldn't say to a man of God. He was so frustrated and so mad about it, dealing with church folk. And we could have had that. We're going to make a big restaurant out of it so that people could go, the saints could have somewhere right after they finished here, they could go over there. It was huge. Then we have all the collard greens and sweet potatoes and tacos and now lost it, a piece right back here, the piece right in the back here, there's a piece there that we don't own, and the only reason we don't own it is because when it was time for it, here comes strife. It was so deep until the man, listen, the post office owned it, the big bug center, they owned that. I said, hey, we need that property. And one will pray it or lose. God told me, he said, all right, wherever I place you, you're supposed to own it. And so prayed, not only I prayed, went out there and pointed at it, spoke to it, even took communion on it. And guess what? The next thing we know, the post office called us and said, hey, we're going to sell that property. Watch this now. They said, we got to put it in the newspaper first. They put it in the newspaper, and one person came, because the government has to put properties in the newspaper. One person came, and they had a certain amount of money they wanted to put on. Well, what we wanted to put on it was something like $200,000 less than what they... And they said, if you give us $200,050, just something, just extra, that we can give it to you. I said, I'm asking my people, what did you say? No, don't give them nothing, Pastor. I'm really here. Now, understand, meanwhile, I had never gone over there in it. I didn't know how huge it was. I mean, so what happened? We didn't get it. The guy got it. He got it for a little over $1 million, not trying to charge us $5 million for it. But he going to give it up again. He's going to give it up. Now, that's not all. That's not all. God never intended for you to come into a city and not own it. Come on now. The last blessing is a blessing of dominion or power. No more struggling. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Folks, we're blessed. We're hooked up with El Elyon. God says you are the seed of Abraham. He's got big plans for you. Don't be trying to figure out how God's going to do it. Just wherever he leads you, follow. Whatever he tells you to say, say it. I got a feeling that everything going to be all right. Praise God. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for today. Hallelujah. This is a revelation.
No, you can't come into covenant with God without Him bringing you up to where He is. The moment you got saved, Jesus took you and made you a joint heir. That doesn't mean He get 50%, you get 50. It means He get 100 and you get 100. Not only that, He raised you up to sit with Him together in heavenly places. You got dominion now. Let's get that mouth and that finger working. Let's every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Praise God. All right, if you're here and God has spoken to your heart, one of the things about this church is we're a soul-saving station. We're a place where people who come in who have lost their way, people who have been hurt and their lives have been ruined, so to speak, people who have been hurting and people who have been misfortunate or mistreated and so forth like that, people who need help, people who need God, and they come here. And this is the place that rescues them. This is a place where we hook them up with a God that can do anything. He is the one that can save and can heal. He can put marriages and straighten out your home life. And He can give you deliverance from drugs. And He can make it so that you can live like you want to live. And God can do all of that. But before He does it, you got to come to Him. He just doesn't do it from afar off. That anybody that came to Jesus experienced Jesus' deliverance if they had faith in God and what He could do. Well, the same thing about this. This is a soul-saving station. And what I want you to do is let you know that God loves you. The earth was lost and placed into the hands of the devil. Now God is getting this earth back. He came to recoup and recover what was lost. And here it's talking about what happened to redeem us from the curse. Now, we said that the curse was already in the earth, and it was happening because of the broken laws of God, that because of the broken laws, people were the curse was operating against people in their lives. Now, poverty exists because of the broken laws of God, and what God has a way of getting us out of poverty, not only that, but getting us back to the place that Adam was in the beginning, and even higher, a place of blessing. It says, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. So, redeem means to buy back or to recover, and he was being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus hung on the cross and He became a curse for us. So that means because He became the curse, we don't need to suffer that curse. Now, put something right there and just turn with me over a few pages backwards to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Or pardon me, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, this is just a few pages back now. Just, you know, all right. Praise God. Don't go wild on me here. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became what? Poor, that you through His poverty might be what? Rich. Now, Jesus was rich. The Bible says He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich, or might be rich. So He became poor that we could be rich. And we said the word rich means abundant supply. Jesus came preaching this. He said, I'm come that they might have what? Life, and have it how? More abundantly. He came to preach the rich lifestyle. And if you look at this, and as we go on down, you'll see how this is a theme right through the Bible. God, the Bible is very thematic, and it's going to be a theme right through the Bible that God is making His people rich. Now, we said rich doesn't mean a certain amount of money. I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire, and so forth. It doesn't mean that. It means having abundance, having more than enough to be rich. All right, now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, and let's look again at what He said in verse 14.
that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. We'll get into a few technical parts here, but just hold on because you'll understand it. Now, Christ had redeemed us from the curse. Why? He was made a curse for us. He was made poverty for us. Poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. All you got to do is look through the Bible. Well, Jesus was poor. He couldn't have been poor. How could he be poor and feed 20,000 people? How could he be poor? Well, he didn't have any place to lay his head. The Bible says when he was on a ship going across to the other side with the disciples, he laid his head on a pillow. So he did have somewhere to lay his head. In John chapter 1, he says, he told the disciples, come to see where I live. So he did have a place to lay his head. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that all of this is something that the enemy has taken time to build up in our minds that Jesus was broke. When you see greeting cards, and you've seen those greeting cards, and you've seen them, and what those greeting cards have is three wise men. Am I right about it? And even when you see them coming to Jesus, they come to Jesus in the manger. Well, all you got to do is go in the Bible and look in here. Well, wasn't no wise men in the manger. The Bible says when they came to Jesus, they came to his house.
You ain't doing me right now. You ain't doing me right.
Turn to Matthew chapter 2. I'm coming right back to Galatians chapter 3. Matthew chapter 2 real quick. Amen. Let me know when you get there. Come on. Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, did it say three wise men? No. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, because that's what's written over in the Old Testament. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. Okay? Look at verse 7. And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young who? Child. Didn't say nothing about baby. Young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Herod was not interested in worshiping Jesus. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Did it say baby? No. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came to the manger, no, that's not what it said, is it? Because he's not in the manger. When they came where? Into the house, they saw who? The young child with who? Now notice, this was about 2 years after Jesus was born. Well, how do I know that? Because Herod got mad that the wise men didn't come back and tell him. And so he killed all the babies 2 years old and under. And look what they brought Jesus. Verse 11, and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, what else? Frankincense and myrrh. Isn't that something? Now, somebody says, well, on the greeting card, you see this little box of gold. And that wasn't true. Because you see three wise men in a manger. And that wasn't true. First of all, it was a train of wise men. They had donkeys staggering with gold. And one man did a study. Peter Daniels came here and said they did a study. Some of the rabbis over there did a study. And they came up with the fact that the amount of gold that they brought to Jesus' house that day was the equivalent of about $400 million worth today. Why? Because God was about to send them to Egypt. Now see, what I'm saying is the enemy has painted a picture in our mind that wasn't completely true. All right? Now let me tell you something. You got to be ready for the truth. Because people will say they want to hear the truth. But when I give it to you, it bothers you. And the reason why it bothers you is because inside of a person, there is unbelief. Another picture has been painted in you. And when I come and give you the truth and it bumps up against that lie, some people get offended. They get offended. Now, I'm going to preach this and you just sit here and take it. And then at the end of it, if I'm not doing something or saying something right according to the scriptures, then you're free to call me down on it. Other than that, listen to what I got to say. And don't think because I'm maybe not the same racial background as you, I can't tell you nothing. Because in the spirit, there is no color. And I'm not preaching out of my flesh. I'm preaching out of the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now listen to what I got to say. And I think if you don't agree with me at the end, you're free to call me down on it. Look what it says. Turn back to Galatians chapter 3. I don't know whether you're there or not. If you're there, say praise the Lord. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. First, let's deal with the fact of the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How many people in here have faith? Then the faith that you have that God gave you and that faith that you exercise, the same are the children of Abraham. So you are a child of Abraham. Are you with me? So it doesn't matter whether you came from Mississippi, whether you came from Uganda, whether you came from the Arab Emirates, whether you came from Chile or China or wherever you came from, it makes no difference. If you have this same faith in God, then you're a child of Abraham. Now stay with me. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They that be of faith. Now understand, I said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles? We were. We were the Gentiles. Gentiles means someone that's outside of the covenant. So we were outside of the covenant, and we were Gentiles, and we got brought into the covenant through Jesus Christ. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All right. Then that same faith that Abraham has, you have, and you are blessed with faithful Abraham. That means Whatever God blessed Abraham with, he is duplicating in your life. Now, what did he bless Abraham with? Material blessings, not spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings for us came through Jesus. The material blessings came through Abraham. You and me, if we're in the Old Testament, couldn't cast out not one devil. There is no place in this Bible, in the Old Testament, that any person cast out demons. Because they didn't have the spiritual power. The spiritual blessing didn't come till Jesus died. Other than that, what you blessings you got were you got material blessings. And that hadn't been preached. It said the blessing of Abraham are spiritual. Abraham couldn't get spiritual blessings because he wasn't spiritual. Abraham wasn't born again, folks. Abraham, when he left this earth, he was then placed, like all the others who believe, in an upper region called Sheol. It is paradise. It's an upper regional place. That's why the thief who hung on the cross said, Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He couldn't go to heaven until Jesus died and rose again and put the blood on the mercy seat. Abraham couldn't go to heaven then. Abraham needed to be saved. And some people worship Mary and pray to Mary. Mary need to be saved just like you. All right, now I'm not going to go further into that, but I'm just telling you, see, if you don't have the truth, then the enemy can mislead you. Now, I'm going to go somewhere with this. You told me you wanted the truth. Didn't you say that? Yeah. Mary was not deity. She was used as a channel to get Jesus into this earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man. And that is the man Christ Jesus. It didn't say the woman Mary. It said the man Christ Jesus. That's the only mediator. That's the, go in the Bible and look at it. See, if you think you know so much and you're telling me that that's not right, then go in the Bible and find out that I'm right. And if I'm right, then whatever doctrine you've been told, put it aside because it's wrong. Now, I'm talking to somebody. I wouldn't stop on this point if I wasn't talking to somebody. And I'm certainly not trying to put you down or put your religion down. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is educate you. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, if that's the truth, then that's what I need to make me free. Say amen to that. No wonder you're not getting no results. You're praying to somebody that can't help you. You got to pray to God. You got to pray to God. God will give you intercessors, give you people that can help pray you through and so forth. But the ultimate is that God wants a fellowship with you directly. God has no grandkids. He only has kids. He wants every one of us to come directly to Daddy and get what we need. No grandkids in the Bible. All right, verse 14. And the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile. Underline blessing. No S on that. Did you notice? There is no S on blessing. Now, let me give you a... I've done this before, but I've been led to do it again. Let me give you... Now, don't get upset with me. Don't get upset with me because I'm not talking about... I'm not talking trying to put people down. That is not why I came into this ministry. I came into this ministry to lift you up. But I know if I'm going to do that, I got to get you to get rid of everything that's holding you down. Now, look what happened. He said the blessing. Now, let me describe the blessing to you. I can describe the blessing sometime by taking the reciprocal of that, the curses. For the curses, for example, if you have, let's say, there's a cousin, and this cousin's name is I done run out of name when I ain't got Shaquita. Shaquita in there. Where is Shaquita in there? Her name is Jane. But anyway, Jane moves in with somebody. And 2 weeks later, the house burned down. Well, Jane moves out of that and then moves in with another relative over here, and their house burned down. Then, you know, moves in with another, and 3 weeks later, their house burned down. Now, would you let Jane move in with you? No, because Jane's got a curse on her life. Now, turn it around and the blessing that everywhere you go, people start getting blessed. Got it? All right, that's the blessing. It's not an S on it. When you get to Deuteronomy 28, that's where the S's are on it. It describes some of the blessings that are under the blessed. Now, it says here that the blessing of Abraham, might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise, underline promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what people have thought is that was the Holy Spirit. The promise was the Holy Spirit. Well, that's part right, but that mostly is not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the promise of the Spirit, the promise that the Holy Spirit made to Abraham. Now,